Thank you, Dad.
Thank you, Brother Randy. Aren't you rejoicing in the good things the Lord's doing in our midst? Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. We're talking and preparing ourselves for the supper, and we want to be in God's center of His will, so that when we partake of it, that we'll not partake of it wrongly, but that we'll partake of it scripturally, and to be ready spiritually to take that memorial supper. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, "And the Lord said unto him, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for the truths of thy word. And Father, as we prepare ourselves for that very special event to partake of the memorial supper, we pray that each one of us that are your children will be prepared, and that we'll do that which is pleasing in your sight, so that when we do participate, that our hearts will be in tune with thee. We're thankful for the ones that were saved this morning, and then for the man that came and presented himself for baptism. Lord, help us to encourage him and to strengthen him as a brother in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we were talking about a vision, and the Bible says without a vision the people perish. And we know that to be a fact. You know, you and I as Christians, we ought to have a vision of great things for the Lord. And the sad thing about it is, if we don't have a vision, we'll never go anywhere. You know, one of the things that I've always challenged my sons and in our family, I always try to challenge them to keep a goal in mind to reach, and to reach better than you've ever reached before. And so many times we say, well, it's kind of like New Year's resolutions. Well, Pastor, you know, I don't make New Year's resolutions because I'll go about 3 or 4 weeks and then I'll break that commitment that I made, and so I just won't make them. But just remember this, if he lasted 3 weeks, that's better than none at all. And it works the same way with vision. You need to set a goal in your Christian life. And you need, about the time you reach that goal, you just reach a little further. And the further you reach, the greater Christian you become, and the more valuable you are to the lost, because they'll have the privilege of knowing that you have vision of the Lord and will reach them for the cause of Christ. I think about the next step, and we call this number 4 on preparation, and that's, we read tonight about faithfulness. You know, so many of God's people back through the centuries have been faithful, even unto death. And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and Travis's birthday. You know, Brother Timothy was a blessing to the Apostle Paul. And he had a, Brother Timothy, he had a different personality than Paul did. And when he first came into the ministry, he was a strong soldier of the cross. But he wasn't really what you would call a tiger. And then after he had been with the Apostle Paul for a while, we find out that Timothy indeed became a tiger for the Lord. And he was sent to do a work in the church at Corinth. And he went in there and he preached the truth to those people. And they sat there and they listened to him. But they didn't serve the Lord. And Paul called him and he said, "You just come on." And he called him by, I don't know how he got a hold of him, by letter, I presume. And he said, "That's all right, I'll be by and we'll take care of it." And then we see that Paul begins to talk to them. And when we read later on about Timothy's life, we find out that Timothy was just as brave and just as big as a bear as Brother Paul was when he challenged the people of God. Now, our responsibility as preachers, and by the way, we don't have a man on our staff that's not a great preacher in his own right. Every one of them are good preachers. Somebody asked me one time, says, "Brother Chick, how did you end up having all the good preacher staff members?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but I'm sure thankful God gave them to us. Because we know that if something happens physically to us or something comes up that we can't go, then we can just call any one of those gentlemen, knowing from Timothy up that they're going to bring and rightly divide the word of truth." Church, we ought to be thankful that we have men serving with us like that. And Sherilyn and Ann does some preaching once in a while. But I don't know whether it's doing Gary or Marvin any good or not. They preach to them every day. All right, so we're talking about faithful. Faithful. You know, sometimes Christians start off being faithful to the Lord. And they have that driving sensation. They want to be somebody special for the Lord. And that's good. That's what we ought to have. We ought to have that desire. And I've looked back over the history of the saints of God and their service to the Lord. And I think about such great men as Peter and James and John, Bartholomew, and all the rest of the 11 disciples. And I see that each one of them were different, but each one of them were faithful. And they were faithful even unto death. And all of us know this, and those who don't know this tonight, we want you to know it, that every one of the apostles, except John the Beloved, died a martyr's death. They were faithful unto death. And then we read about Stephen and some of the others that were stoned, and some were roasted in flames. And if you've ever read the book of, called the Book of Martyrs, you would see that so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ died faithfully serving God, would not recant their faith, and they went on. Not long ago, we lost two of our missionaries down in Mexico, and the cartel was down there, and they were taking a strong stand against drugs and sin and ungodliness and prostitution and so on and so forth. And we pray often for our missionaries in Mexico. And they'd been down there many years, and they stood their ground. And one morning they found them dead. Shot a number of times in their pickup truck. They'd been out calling for the Lord, and they gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Faithful unto death. You say, "Brother Chick, I don't know whether I'd have that much courage or not." You know, Jesus doesn't want us to die for Him. He wants us to live for Him. And that's what we need to do. We need to live for Him. I'm sad that they took their life that way. But don't you know that when they get to glory, one of the crowns they're going to have is the martyr's crown? They died standing for the truth. Now, this is what Christ is saying here in our text tonight. He's telling us that there were some that were faithful. And one of the things that we desire, and by the way, we're going to stand before Christ not to be judged whether we're going to heaven or hell. No, 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 no. One of these days we're going to stand at the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ, called the judgment seat of Christ. And Jesus said that all judgment was given unto Him. And one of these days, you and I that are Christians are going to stand and give answer. for what we did and what we did not do that we should have done. And so when this time comes, we want to hear these words. Notice what the master said to these about these that have been faithful. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know what? I was thinking on the play on the words here, Brother Wickard. Notice that he puts good and faithful. Because the saints of God that are faithful to the Lord are good people. They put aside their own will and their own wants, and they took a stand for the Lord, and they were good, strong, healthy babies in Christ. And they grew in the Lord, and they did great things for God. They attempted great things for God. And they had the vision that the Lord would have them to have. And they knew in whom they have believed. I think sometimes when we begin to kind of flutter away out of fellowship with the Lord, I think sometimes we forgot that we can have confidence in the Lord, that He can deliver us and that He can give us that power and that strength we need. And sometimes we want to fold our tents and say, well, you know, they don't want to listen to us anyway. But bless your heart to remember this. God said we don't have to decide whether they're going to listen or not. Our responsibility is to tell them about the Lord. And Paul said in his preaching, he said, I fail not to declare unto you, what? The whole counsel of God. He said, I preached everything you needed. Well, you say, well, did you think the early Christians do like some of our Christians do today? They just kind of get to just a little bit fighty and they get set on the chair of do nothing. Well, of course they did. And, you know, sometimes we get to thinking about those New Testament early church members. We try to think about them. Well, they were something special. Yes, they were. But we also know that they had the same traits that you and I have. And I'm sure there were times in those of the early church, after all those thousands of souls had been saved, I'm sure there's some that got careless and lax and kind of fell to the wayside. And many of them, before it was over, renewed their faith and their joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we say to ourselves, well, you know, Brother Chick, I've served the Lord all these years faithfully, and it just seemed like that no one cares. Well, I'll tell you, somebody that cares. It might not be the pastor saying, you're doing a great job for the Lord. You know, I found out years ago, those people that are really serving the Lord, they don't need my praise. They know what they're doing and why they're doing it, and they do it because they love the Lord. And when I see a Christian just determined, when it seems like everything he touches goes backwards and upside down, how many of you ever experienced this? Yeah, a lot of us have. And we say to ourselves, man, I don't know whether I'm going to make it or not. But by the grace of God, you see God move in, and He'll give you the comfort and the peace that you need and the strength. And you say, well, let's go to round number 10 now. And if we have to go 150 rounds against the devil, by the grace of God, we'll give him a black eye. Amen? And you say, how are you going to do that? Let the Lord do it. So sometimes we get to thinking about wanting to be praised by our brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, if our brothers and sisters in Christ could do what God could do, we'd probably do it more often. But we can't. You see, God is the one who rewards. And that's why He said, and be not weary in well-doing. For as time goes by, we'll be the overcomers that God wants us to be. I love that old song that we sing, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. And there's some of you sitting in this room tonight that have been faithful, and you've struggled, and you've fought, and you And many times you got discouraged, but you said, no, I'm not doing this for self-recognition. I'm doing this because I love the Lord. And then it's amazing how quickly the Lord moves in and blesses you with that. Faithful. Faithful. And when we look Jesus in the face, as John the Beloved said, that when he shall appear, and you know he's going to, when he shall appear, that we should not be ashamed. You say, well, Brother Chick, do you think Christians will be ashamed? I'm afraid so. I think that if we lack the faithfulness that we need in our lives, as we come to the end of time or the rapture takes place, I'm sure we're going to examine our own hearts and we're going to question our own lives. Have I done my best for Jesus? Have I really been in there pitching the ball? You say, well, you know as well as I do that not any of us are ever going to do what we should do and could do for the Lord. Yes, but we can keep on keeping on. We can keep serving. You heard me tell that story about the little old lady that lived next door to a good old Christian fella. And they went to the same church. And she only had one eye. And she's kind of like Brother Chick. She can't hear very good. And she only had two teeth. And when she'd go to church, she'd come in and big old smile on her face. And she was always happy and jubilant. And she'd shake her brothers and sisters in Christ their hand and give them that old God bless you, I love you. Aren't those people refreshing? And so the next door neighbor, being a member of the same congregation, went through a valley of trials. The Bible says our trials are more blessed than gold tried in fire. Amen? And so that one Sunday, he was just discouraged, and he came in, and there she was, shaking hands, smiling, happy, loving the Lord, thrilled about being in the house of God. And so that dear beloved brother in Christ took her to the side, and he said, I don't understand you. He said, I live next door to you. And I've seen the trouble and the heartache that you have in your life. I was living next door to you when you said goodbye to your husband when he went to heaven. And he said, dear sister, you can't hear anymore. And you sure can't sing anymore. And you only have one eye. And he said, and besides that, You ought to realize that you only have two teeth. What are you so happy about? And she looked up at him and she said, I'm praising the Lord that my teeth are arranged so one's above the other and I can still eat. I don't care how heavy our lot gets. I don't care how many problems we have. I don't care what our friends and our relations do to us. Sometimes our brothers and sisters in Christ, they get ice cold. And you know, as a pastor, when people get that way, I just said, hey, my job is to keep on keeping on. That's what I'm going to do. Because if I let that attitude bother me, then I can't be effective for the Lord. Isn't that right? And when somebody kind of turns their nose up at you, and usually it's because you're serving the Lord. I hate to say that. And sometimes it's because you're being so faithful to the Lord. And the old devil plants that seed and saying, well, who do they think they are? I know who I am. I'm a preacher of the cross and a child of the King. How about you? Who are you? Are you one that belongs to the Lord? You see, to be faithful in season and out of season. Faithfulness sometimes is out of season. Sometimes we have to go through the fire. Sometimes we have to go through the flood. Sometimes we have to have heartache. I'm sure Brother Mike and Brother Bob tonight, I'm sure their hearts are a little heavy. And I'm sure that the grandkids, their hearts are a little heavy because they've had to say goodbye to their grandpa. But you know, the blessed thing is they have a hope within them that will lift them above that sorrow. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, "And sorrow not as others who have no hope." They have a hope. And you know, being faithful, is the part of being faithful is having that eternal hope that God gave us on the day of our salvation. Amen? Yes, sir. Now, the next thing we want to look at tonight is our relationship to the church. You know, we've been announcing this and reminding you that this is our church. How many members of Bible Baptist Church? Let me see your hand. Okay. This is our church. This is our place that God has given us to serve. Now, maybe some of you have not come to the realization yet, but we live on a mission field. We live in our Jerusalem. We're living in our mission field, and our mission field is Enid, Oklahoma. And this is where God's placed us to serve. Now, sometimes we get to thinking, well, I'm not an officer of the church. Well, with becoming an officer of the church means we keep our nose clean and our eyes on God. Maybe we better say that again. We keep our nose clean and our eyes on God. We keep a sweet spirit. We keep a loving spirit. We love the lost. And you say, well, I don't hold a position like that. Some of you say, I'm not a Sunday school teacher. Well, not all people can be Sunday school teachers. Well, I don't sing in the choir. Not all of us can sing anymore. I never could, but some of you were not blessed with the ability to sing. But you can still make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? You might sound like an old hog caller out there in the middle of the fields and hollering for the hogs, and your voice might sound like that somebody beat it to pieces. But when it comes time to sing, you can sing. You say, was that what they call that, Brother Chick? No, it's called making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And you see, we say to ourselves, well, if I don't hold this position, and if I don't hold this position, or if I can't do this, or I can't do that, then I'm not much value to the church. Every member of Bible Baptist Church is important to God in His church. Can you remember that? You might not be flamboyant, but you're one that God's using and wants to use in our body here as we serve. What most Christians don't realize is that the church might not always be here if our members become passive in thinking of others and say to themselves, oh, I'll let them carry the load. If we depend on somebody else to carry the load of the church, then there's a strong possibility that our church could go out of existence. I had a couple of 3 days off this last week, R&R. And there was a lot of quiet times. And it gave me time to think back and to look back over my service to the Lord and think what could have happened if I hadn't served the Lord, and to renew my responsibility to the Lord. What is my responsibility? You see, my responsibility hasn't changed from the age of 9 years old when I got saved until this date of being 75 plus. My responsibility is still the same. Now, sometimes our service changes. And tomorrow morning, I'm hoping that after tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, that it won't be long until I'll be saying goodbye to wheelchairs and scooters. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow. And if you happen to be awake at 8 o'clock and you love your pastor, whether you love me or not, pray in the morning at 8 o'clock that my doctor will have his head on straight. And he said, if you'll do such and such, then we'll do it. And you know what? We did such and such. Now, I'm not foolish enough as a Christian to realize that I can do the things that my Timothy, 25 years old, can do. I mean, tell you, he's a ball of energy. Brother Jerry and Gary and Randy and Terry, Brother Terry, I can't do all the things they can do, but I'm pretty. What I can do, I will do. Because my calling hasn't stopped. It's the same calling that he gave me back when I was saved at the age of 9. You say, well, what was that calling? Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me daily. And that's your responsibility, and that's my responsibility. And what we might do in that responsibility might not be what we used to be able to do, but bless God, there's still things we can do for the cause of Christ. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I like what Paul said about the church. And I think God used him because to write about the church because he knew that he understood the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll be done here in a few minutes. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want you to turn with me. And I want you to look at this. In verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, who's the head of the church? Well, surely not Brother Chick. Now, I'm the under-shepherd. Brother Terry's an under-shepherd. But we have a chief shepherd that we have to give answer to at his coming. But it's Christ. And he said, now, here's the way the Lord set the church up. And he gave the human body. Why? Because he wanted the people to understand how he wanted his church to work. Some of our folks have gotten up in many years now, and they have limited service. I was thinking about Mrs. Plew. She'd like to be more involved now than she's ever been. But you know what? That dear sister in Christ is getting up in years. But she still prays. And she still testifies. And she still loves the Lord. And every time I see her, she tells me, Pastor, I'm praying for you. God bless you. Keep on keeping on. You say, well, is that good? I think it is. She hasn't given up. Mrs. Lynch, I don't like to toot people's horns, but she acts like a teenager. I've never seen a woman in my life that gets around as good as she does. But she loves the Lord. And she told me just the other day, and I hope you don't mind me telling you this, but she said, I'm glad that I can serve the Lord. It's a joy for me to be able to go for the Lord. Now, she could have just sat back and did nothing. But you know what? She's by herself. Not really. Amen. Is she by herself? Absolutely not. I'm with you, kid. Yes. But more important than that, the Lord's with her. And she just keeps on keeping on. Serving, witnessing, sharing, encouraging. You say, well, does she pastor anywhere? No, she just prays for her pastors. That's important. And that's what it said, verse 13. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. We just voted on baptism tonight, didn't we? To this person that wants to be part of us. Whether we be Jew or Greek, doesn't matter who we are or what we think we are. The Jews and the Gentiles, they didn't have very many good words to say about them until the Apostle Paul and Peter got together and got their heads together and got their heads together. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, some of the great Christians, if you read Fox's Book of Mormon, you're going to find out some of the greatest Christians were people that were slaves, turned into slavery, and they were taken and treated like animals, but they stayed faithful and served God, you see. All right? Bond or free, having been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now that's fantastic. Notice what he said. For the body, verse 14, you reading with me? For the body is not one member, but what? Many members. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Whoa. You know, we need our feet. Amen? Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Savior up above, looking down in tender love. So be careful, little feet, where you go. Uh-huh. And some would say, well, I'm not a foot because I'm not a hand. I'm not of the body. Is that true? Well, that's silly, isn't it? Is it therefore not of the body? Now, I saw something the other day that I almost couldn't believe, that this person was born without arms and hands. And they were showing what could be done if people wanted and had enough courage to push on. And they said, I thought to myself, there's a lot of things I wonder how they get done. I wonder how they button their shirts. You reckon they wear a lot of pullovers? But they said to the individual, how do you feed yourself? Out from under the table came their feet, Brother Rod. And that individual took a knife between one foot toes and a fork between. I thought to myself, this person doesn't only have arms, but he's a contortionist. And man, he was cutting his food. If he was limber, I'd be blown up if that happened, because I can't get my foot to my mouth. Sometimes I get my foot in my mouth. And he just was feeding himself. And then they showed some other things. Well, now, I'm sure he would have preferred to have arms. I'm sure that he would have preferred to have legs. I'm sure, he had legs, but have hands. I'm sure he would have preferred that. But he went with what he had. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Do what you can do. God's not going to call you and have you do something that you can't do. You might not think you can do it, but if God calls you and says, this is what I want you to do, that's what you need to do. Now, he said, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part. Is your hand and foot, is that part of your body? Some of you are goers. You can go. We have some people who can't go anymore, but they have hands that serve. Hands that kneel with the heart in prayer. Hands that help their brothers and sisters in Christ. We had a dear lady live next door to us when we were just young preachers. And she was getting to the point where she couldn't see. And hardly could she hear. But she wanted to be a blessing to the Lord, and you heard me talk about the pecan pie. And I've never heard Mrs. Berry ever complain. And by the way, I met here her son some years back. And he said, my mother was a phenomenal woman. And yes, she was. But you know what she told us? I said, it's not necessary for you to do this. She said, Pastor Chick, there are a lot of things that I can't do anymore, but I can still do this. I want to be a blessing to a preacher of the cross. Mrs. Chick and I will attest to the fact that she was a blessing to us. Now, did she complain about what she could not do? No. She took those abilities that God had left her with, and she did what she could do for the Lord. I hope you're listening tonight, because you're sure looking at me. The Lord is not asking you to be something that you're not. He's asking you to be something that you can be. And that's what He wants from us. Now, let's read on, because we're not finished here yet. And if the ear says, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We need ears to hear. And sometimes we have ears that will not hear, that will not listen to the truth. But there's not any of us that can't hear the Word of God and act upon it. And that's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart. Now, how do you think he got that? Because the Bible wasn't written in those days. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know where it came? It came from the ear gate. And said, I'm not an eye, then I'm not part of the body. We know the eye is part of the body, and we know the ear is. You say, Brother Chick, is this not an oversimplification? It might seem to be that way, but sometimes we have to say simple things, and God says simple things for intelligent people because somehow or another they can't understand the deep things of God's Word because they've not grown in the Lord. And so God takes just the primitive, the lowest things to declare His truth. And that's what He's doing here. Remember, this is from the book of 1 Corinthians. And we know that in the Corinthian church at that time, when Brother Timothy went down there to preach, and he preached the truth to them, and they didn't listen to him. Paul sent him over to Brother Titus, and he spent some time with Brother Titus, and he became a tiger for the Lord. And Paul said, I'll take care of the church at Corinth. And you read the 1 Corinthians and then you read the 2 Corinthians and you can see Paul's sermon has changed. After Paul goes, he said in chapter 3, he said, are you not carnal? Are you not babes in Christ? Man, he was rough. But when you read the second epistle of Corinthians, you see the smoothness and the gentleness again of a church that has been reignited in their love for the Lord. And now they're serving people. What does it take to get us to function for the Lord? It should be love. It should be desire. It should be faith. faithfulness. Now let's read on. He said, if the whole body was an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole bodies were hearing, where were the smelling? You say, well, I know Christians that are of the nose of the church. I had a preacher friend one time, and he did have a pretty good-sized nose. And he was a skinny, red-headed preacher, and he was a fireball, and I loved the fellowship with him. And him and I were preaching a revival meeting together, and this lady noticed his big nose. And she was intrigued with it, and so, you know, some people are a little bit overbearing, Mary. And so she went in up to Brother Hoyt Lemon and said, Brother Lemon, he said, I'm just wondering, where in the world, how in the world did you get that big nose? And you know what he told her? Keeping it out of other people's business. And I about fell over backwards. I said, fine shot, does your pussycat. And whack, right between the eyes. And she said, I think I must be out of line. And I nodded my head. It's not our outward features that count. It's what here that counts. We don't serve outwardly. We serve from the inside out. Never forget that. Never forget that. We serve from the inside out. But look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Now who sets us in the body? Come on, church. Verse 18. Who sets the members in the church? Now God has set the what? What does it say? The members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased the preacher. As it has pleased God. Now notice what he says. He said, and if we were all one member, where were the body? But now, are you many members, and yet one body? Are we? Are each one doing our job? Some have become prayer warriors. They've gotten up in years and now they're limited in what they can do. I remember Alice Rankin, and Alice Ulotala was named after her. Probably one of the greatest Christians I've ever known. And I had the privilege of being her pastor for a number of years. And I would go to the hospital before she passed away, and she was on her deathbed, and I went up to see about her, and she had little cards, and she had people's names on them that she would pray for them. And she had lay there in that bed, and she'd have that card laying on her chest, and she'd pick up that card, and she'd read three or four names, and then she'd say, now, Lord, this one, oh, Lord, I love them. Father, bless them. Lord, encourage them. Help them to become a strong Christian. And I would sit there quietly. She didn't know I was there. And I'd wait. And then she'd go to the next one. And she would tell the love story of her next brother or sister in Christ. And finally, when she got through praying, I got there a little bit late. And I said, oh, Alice, that's wonderful. I enjoyed your prayers with the Lord. And she smiled real big. And I said, was my name on that list? And she handed me the card. And the very first card, number one card, was, God, I pray for my pastor. Alice Rankin helped me to get through and become the pastor that God wanted me to be. Her faithful prayers. Some, all they want to do is criticize. Surely not criticize Brother Chick, because Brother Chick, he's a sweetie. Amen? I didn't get any amen then. You guys are a bunch of pickle pusses. And I think some of you got baptized in pickle juice because you don't smile. But I don't care. I'm happy. I'm happy in the Lord. Brother, that's what I want. I want prayer warriors that can get a hold of the horns of the altar, brother, and pray. I want people in our congregation that every one of us can be a prayer warrior. I want every one of us to pray, and I want every one of us to say. But you say, Pastor, I can't always say what's in my heart. That's okay. You don't pray to inform God anyway. You just let him know when you talk to him. You just let him know, God, I love you. And I've heard babies in Christ, just new Christians, and they wanted to pray. And I they'd come to me and they said, well, would you give me kind of an outline how I can learn to pray? And I said, point number one. And they'd look at me and said, no, I want you to write it down. I said, it's not necessary that I write it down. This first one, you take the first one, and next week when you come to church, I'll give you the rest of them. But I said, number one, dear Lord, I really do love you, and I want to thank you for saving my soul. Don't you know the Lord wants to hear that? Huh? Don't you know he wants to hear that you love him? How many times do we fail just to stop and say, Lord, I love you. I'm sad but true. Most of the time when we pray, dear Lord, I love you. And then we say, give me, 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 give me. And we forget that prayer, we have the right of petition, but sometimes prayer needs to be the right of praise. God, thank you. Thank you. I was looking at our grandchildren today. They were all here. Bless their little pea-picking hearts. And I thought to myself, what a joy. What a thrill. God, thank you for our grandkids. We love them. You say, well, they're all perfect, Brother Chick. Yes, I know it. It's because they had to play with your grandkids. And you kind of messed my grandkids up, so I understand that. No. When was the last time you had a Thanksgiving prayer? But now are the many members yet what? We're one body. Shall we stand?